You can't say Benjamin Dreyer is just a copy editor. You can't say that because he's so much more. He's vice president, executive managing editor, and copy chief of Random House. But you also can't say it because just as just a copy editor, just as in merely, is one of the words Benjamin Dreyer says throw away, don't use it, and you will be a better writer. He should know he's dedicated his life to making others better writers. In that ballet, or sometimes sword fight, copy editors have with the authors they're editing. As actress Zoe Caldwell once told him conspiratorially, copy editors are like priests safeguarding their faith. In which case, Benjamin Dreyer has now written a new Bible, Dreyer's English, an utterly correct guide to clarity and style. And Benjamin Dreyer joins us from NPR's New York studios. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I have to confess, I'm a little scared. I'm going to say something like, more importantly, my mother always said it's more important, there's no Lee, and all hell's going to break loose here. Do you have people say that to you, like they're almost afraid of talking to you?
People do say that, and of course they say it partly as a joke, but of course they're partly deadly serious.
Well, but okay, how about our introduction? A little overwritten?
Personally, in that I was the object of it, I thought it was charming.
Okay, great. Goodbye. I'm on a roll. Well, let's talk about some of those words that you say. Don't use them for a week. And we can understand these are words that modify other words. So very, rather, just. And I can understand a word that's being modified should be good enough to stand on its own 2 feet. But why just?
Because there are so many other more interesting ways to say simply or merely or solely. And just is just so bland.
We want more tips like that one. But before a lightning round, you only work with one author now, Elizabeth Strout, except for her first, Olive Kitteridge.
Yes. Burgess Boys and My Name is Lucy Barton and Anything is Possible, and very exciting to admirers of Liz's Olive, comma, Again.
Yes, The Return.
Which is spectacular.
Well, what's that like? I mean, you're the shadow. You're offstage applauding the author, but you're in this mix with them.
Well, it's become such a great time between her and me because there's a level of intimacy that has developed between the two of us. And I feel sometimes that I'm in her brain. She's in mine, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has said to me that sometimes she's working on something in a manuscript and the sentence is a little sort of naughty and she can't quite figure out what's going on. And she says, oh, well, Benjamin will fix it.
Well, what a compliment. And sometimes it is, as you describe, a waltz, this dance that you do, sometimes a violent tango. What happens when you move beyond commas or rearrange a sentence that an author hasn't said, you know, well, Ben will figure that out, and somebody's upset?
In my experience, and the thing you're always aiming for, of course, is to not have a fight break out between the copy editor and the author. Good authors enjoy being copy edited. They're aware of the fact that nobody is ever really going to pay such attention to their work all the way down to the nuclear level as their copy editor. Now, sometimes it just goes wrong. And even the best copy editor can, on occasion, simply not understand what it is the author is trying to do, not hear it.
Well, and then you might have the exchanges that you describe in the book, the author writing sniffily in the margin, it's called style, to a criticism, and then another writing in big caps, write your own blank book.
A copy editor cannot make a bad book into a good book, but a copy editor can certainly in a substantial, real fashion, take a good manuscript and fine-tune it and polish it and, you know, tighten the screws and make a material difference.
Okay, well, make us better writers. You say there are rules, but there are some that you don't care as much about. For instance, split infinitives, infinitive, to have, to hold, to go. You say, it's okay, split them up.
Right. I mean, the Star Trek phrase, to boldly go where no man has gone before. To boldly go, that's what we call a split infinitive. And people have had it drummed into their heads arbitrarily and with no particular thought going into it, don't do that. To which my response is, why not do it? You want to get the adverb where you want it to be. You want it to make the best sound it possibly can.
So boldly split your infinitives.
Yes.
If it sounds good. The rule is never end a sentence with a preposition, as at, by, for. You say poof.
It's not always the most effective way to end a sentence. I do like to end a sentence with a nice, strong word because it makes a punch. But every now and then to try to undo a sentence that's going to end with a preposition by taking it and just rearranging its parts, it's going to sound stilted.
So give us an example of what's okay.
This is something I won't put up with.
Oops, with. That's a preposition, but you say you can end a sentence with. You don't have to torture yourself and others by making it, this is something with which I won't put up.
Yes.
There you go.
And we're fine.
And we're fine. Nothing's happened. You say, though, the goal is, you drove me to the dictionary a lot, but the goal is to aim for a powerful finale and not simply dribble off like an old man's unhappy micturition.
Yes.
Which I looked up and it had something to do with dribbling and old men, and so people can look that up. But one rule that you say it's okay to break surprised us. A person that instead of a person who, it doesn't always have to be who.
It doesn't always have to be. Sometimes you're not stressing the humanity of the person. You're stressing the profession. You're expressing a group of people that, you know, the teachers that are attending the conference. Now, I'm telling you straight, of course, I will more often than not reach for the word who. But as Ira Gershwin demonstrated quite handily when he wrote the song The Man That Got Away, you can refer to a person as a that, and you'll be just fine.
We've used words like preposition and split infinitive, and some people may not know what those are, but may have just a sense of what's right. So you write another sentence that you say you were on the verge of making public. I'm going to read it slowly. We need whiteboards to do a segment like this, but if listeners can jot this down. I think of the internet as a real place, as real or realer than Des Moines. Well, I looked at that and I went, wait a minute. If you drop the or realer, again, the sentence read, as real or realer than Des Moines. And if you use that old trick, you drop the or realer, you'd be left with as real than Des Moines, which tells you you need to add another as, so it would read as real as or realer than Des Moines. Now, I don't think I know what parallelism is, but it just feels right.
We do rely on our ears when we are writing, and if we are lucky enough to have a good ear, you don't necessarily need to know what parallelism means or what a subjunctive is or what a split infinitive is.
Okay, moving on. Exclamation marks. You say some writers recommend that writers should use no more than a dozen exclamation marks per book. Others insist you should use no more than a dozen exclamation points in a lifetime. Double exclamation marks. No one over the age of 10, you say, who is not actively engaged in writing a comic book should use them, in which case I want to recall all of my texts and tweets.
Of course, you mentioned the magic words, texts and tweets. Texting has its own language. Tweeting certainly has its own language. And when at Twitter, tweet as the Twitterers do. I can certainly understand why people who have been brought up texting, they have their own way of looking at this language that they're speaking in.
Yeah.
This language in which they are speaking.
There you go. I'm like, it must be so hard being you. Moving on to fiction, you've got great advice. Overrated words, blinking, grimacing, huffing, pausing, especially for a beat, smiling weakly, snorting, swallowing, doing anything wistfully. You go on to say, you writers are far too keen on and then, which can usually be trimmed to then or done away with, and you're also overfond of suddenly. What else would you say to fiction writers?
Cut back on the murmuring. Cut back on the whispering, the shrugging, the pointing, the considering, the nodding. The sixth time in 20 pages that somebody's shrugged, or as I like to say, shrugged their unnecessarily mentioned shoulders, because what else are you going to shrug? The sixth time that's happened is maybe four times too many.
Yeah. But here's more that you say to writers, put on permanent hiatus. The angry flaring of nostrils, the thoughtful pursing of lips, the letting out of the breath you didn't even know you were holding. What do you love, though, Is there a word you've come across lately where you just went, oh, you know?
All sorts of words appeal to me on a visceral level. They do something. They make a particular sound. At the moment, I'm trying to think of the ones that I love, and mostly I'm thinking of words that I have a visceral distaste for.
Well, let's hear some more of those while you're thinking.
I can't bear the sight or the sound of the word munch. It just makes me shiver. And I somehow have never quite been able to make my peace with the word nosh.
Oh, to nosh on something.
A word just popped into my head, incarnate. It's like, I like that word. I like that word. Occasionally I'm asked, what's your favorite word? And I always choose for my favorite oddball word, which is defenestrate. To throw something or someone out of a window.
Well,
it's so weirdly specific that it's delightful that the English language came up with it.
Yeah, but if you were trying to tell, you know, quick, somebody threw someone out of a window, you probably wouldn't yell, they defenestrated them.
Well, I would.
And confusion would reign. Benjamin Dreyer, again, his new terrific book, Dreyer's English, An Utterly Correct Guide to Clarity and Style. It's really a must read. Benjamin, thanks so much. And we'd love to have you back maybe with some listeners' questions about writing.
That would be fun.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.